Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show.
Thanks to Jonathan Toews, the Blackhawks are fresh off a win last night against the Avs, and today the NHL Players Association voted Joel Quenneville the coach they'd most like to play for. Could that maybe help Coach Q get off that hot seat this offseason? The Bulls are in action tonight, but first the Cubs will play under the lights in Arizona tonight in 2016 World Series rematch against the Indians, and Jose Quintana takes the mound. What are the expectations for the other Q in Chicago, and hey, who bats leadoff on opening day? The pre-mentioned Bulls and Grizzlies coming up right here on NBC Sports Chicago tonight. Did the NBA actually hurt the Bulls' draft chances with their meddling this afternoon? We'll debate that and more on Sports Talk Live starting right now. Welcome into Sports Talk Live presented by the Chevy Silverado. Uncle Cappy is off. I'm Luke Stuckmeyer. Let's meet the panel for today's show. Sun-Times Bears beat writer Adam Johns is here for us, our NBC Sports Chicago Cubs insider Tony Andracki, and SB Nation's Jason Gotch. Guys, thanks for stopping by. We're going to get right out to the United Center. So we told you moments ago, Joel Quenneville was voted by the players, the most liked coach in the NHL. That leads us to our Ankin Law Sports Talk Live poll question. Which would you like most to play for? Fred Hoiberg, Joe Maddon, Matt Nagy, or Joel Quenneville, or maybe Rick Renteria? Go to NBCSportsChicago.com/vote. Now let's go out to the UC. We're getting started with the Bulls as we head out live to the UC, where we are joined by our Bulls insider, Vincent Goodwill. Vincent, Justin Holliday back in the starting lineup tonight because the NBA slapped the Bulls on the hand for benching healthy veterans. Is the NBA wrong here?
By the letter of the law, they're not wrong, but the rule is more so for other teams. It's an unintended consequence of some of the resting that went on last year when you talked about the Golden States and San Antonio's resting healthy players for nationally televised games. It wasn't a good look. Unfortunately, it happens on the back end to some of these lottery teams like the Bulls, who are trying to rest healthy veterans for a different reason. Luke, here's what I think. I think some team in the bottom of the Super 8 sweepstakes, I think one of them went to the league and said, hey, the Bulls are circumventing what this rule is. And although it wasn't intended to affect a team like the Bulls, you have to adhere by the letter of the law, and the NBA actually agreed, called the Bulls, didn't issue any, you know, written warning or anything, just said, hey, this is what you guys should be doing, and if not, then we may have to go further.
Yeah, but you know what? Nobody's sitting Tim Duncan or Manu Ginobili. No offense to Justin Holliday. Nobody paid big money to come see him play tonight.
You mean, really? You mean they're paying big money to see Denzel Valentine and David Nwaba?
Sure, they might be. Nwaba might be. I'm just saying it's not the same as team sitting LeBron James or Tim Duncan. Crowds of fans aren't coming in and paying for season tickets to see somebody that's not a superstar.
No, they're not. But you also have to appreciate and understand exactly where some of these other teams are coming from. Look, the Bulls are probably the best team of those eight. Some of these other teams are not bad because they're resting people. They're bad because they don't have the personnel. This is a fault of the Bulls from winning too many games in December, in January, when they look like a competent bunch. These other teams, the Sacramentos, the Dallases, the Orlandos, the Brooklyns, they're bad because they're bad, not bad because they're trying to be. And even though the rule wasn't meant for the Bulls, they did get a good six games out of it. And when you go down 37 points to the Boston Celtics Monday night, you're going to wind up catching the ire of some teams and the league.
All right, enough tank talk. You wrote on NBCSportsChicago.com about the tug of war between Zach LaVine and Chris Dunn over leadership roles. Great article. Who the closer should be? How do they resolve this as things move along for the Bulls?
I don't think that there's an issue right now. Let me make that clear. There is no issue in the moment. That's something that I can see brewing down the line because both players have exceeded expectations this year. Both players will go into next season with an offseason under their belt ready to take the next step. I think that's a natural part of growth. I don't think it's a bad thing. I don't think it's anything that's going to lead to fisticuffs. You can look at any situation in the league, any successful situation where young players are coming up and feeling themselves is going to be something that happens until there's a pecking order that's decided. So whether it's the coaching staff getting everybody in the signing roles, you know, in training camp next year, or basically someone taking a big jump in terms of stature between now and October, I don't think it's a bad thing at all. I just think it's part of the ecosystem of the NBA, and I think it's going to be a very good thing for any player it actually involves.
Vinny, is Fred Hoiberg really still that upset at the Bulls' effort and that loss to the Kyrie-less Celtics the other night?
Was he upset at the result? No, the result is the result. I think he was upset at the fact that you go down 37 points. Add to the fact like this. Brad Stevens is one of his peers, comes from a similar background in college, and they were both, you know, throwing compliments to each other before the game. Remember, Brad Stevens was also the guy who, when the Bulls were getting blown out in Game 6 here against the Celtics last April, was telling the crowd to shut up when they started chanting "Fire Hoiberg." So you're talking about two coaches who are friends, and Fred wanted to put his best foot forward as far as what his team and effort and everything else, and he probably felt embarrassed, not necessarily by the result, but by the way that it looked, and you can understand that. Look, I don't care how many games you want to lose, you don't get extra points for losing by 40.
Vinny, a year ago, we were all analyzing this Jimmy Butler trade for Zach LaVine, for Chris Dunn. Did you ever really think you'd be writing a story right now about how they're going to become the closer? One of these two guys is going to step up as a leader. And, you know, either way, how would you grade this trade now a year after the fact?
You're asking me to give Garpax credit once again. I'm just trying to figure out, are you guys all trying to torture me here at 6 o'clock? Seriously.
No, but
seriously, did I ever think that it would get to this point? No. Because I wasn't sure what type of player Chris Dunn was going to develop into in year two. He did not show a lot last year. I do think he was beaten down by that coach on that sideline over there. I forgot his name. You guys are familiar with him. But he was the guy I wondered about the most because he didn't have anything positive coming from this last season. Zach LaVine, I could kind of see him recovering. He didn't have a lot of damage and miles on his body, even with that ACL injury. So I'm impressed at the fact that he's come away from this, and Lauri Markkanen was just a big unknown. But how would I grade the trade? I guess you can say all things considered. I mean, you give him a solid B, right?
All right, Vinny. We'll deal with that. I like it. Thank you. And, hey, like the new threads. I see a new suit out there today. Huh?
Not new, but I just make it look good. Don't worry about it.
Okay, well, it does look good. All right, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
See you guys.
All right, let's switch gears to the Bears, the combine, rearview mirror. We've got free agency coming up in focus. Mitchell Trubisky was on The Score just yesterday with an update on his offseason workouts. He's been training with Rams quarterback Jason Goff. Is that going to be a good thing for him?
He's not just training with them. He's living with them. They're spending like almost a month.
They're roommates.
Together. They're roommates. They're best buds. So Adam Shaheen's on the outside. Yeah.
That's who they want him to become, right?
Is this
a good thing?
So now he's convincing everybody to come out there. I think Kyle Long has been out there. Kevin White. And I don't know if he has a shirt on yet, but he's out there as well. So
if you look like that, would you have a shirt on, though?
Absolutely not. Yeah. I do the show without my shirt on. Is that okay?
See, now I thought they just photoshopped Cap's body on there because he's been doing all these workouts and cryotherapy, but that's clearly.
Oh, it's the cryo, yeah.
Will do that.
So, yeah. Yes, it's great that he looks that way, but let's see what he does on the field. Let him look good on the field. But I like that he's out there with Mr. Trubisky. I like that Mitch Trubisky's taking ownership of – it sounds like he's taking ownership of his team, getting his players all together.
And I know that the players respect – Kyle Long talked about it in the early offseason about, hey, this kid's doing all the right things. He's earning the respect of the veterans that were on this team right from the get-go. He's taken charge a couple times.
It wasn't just the offensive players that – really made at least an impact and impression on me when they said that. It was the guys like Danny Trevathan, guys like Akeem Hicks, guys like Pernell McPhee, the defensive players, old veterans on your team, respectively, giving Mr. Trubisky credit for his work habits. So you got to love that if you're Ryan Pace.
So Trubisky, we think, is on the right path. Mm-hmm. We think he has potential. But listen, he's nothing if you can't get players around him. No quarterback in the world can be great if you just have fringe players at wide receiver. What can Pace do over the next few weeks to get this thing a little bit better, you know, so he's got some tools to work with.
Yeah, they definitely need help at wide receiver. I thought last season when you looked at the receivers, a lot of those guys maybe would struggle to play, you know, high college football at this point. They were really mixing and matching guys. And you're right, Trubisky can only be as good as the guys catching the ball. He can have a great attitude. He can be a great leader. He can do all the right things work. I think he can throw great passes, but guys have to catch it. So I think they really need to look to upgrade wide receiver. But I wouldn't do it with a top 10 pick in the draft. I would try and do it through free agency or some lower rounds because with one of those top 10 picks, you need to draft, I think, either offensive line or front seven on defense.
the way the draft sets up, it's almost, you almost have to go defensively. You got two of the top cornerbacks who could be there at number eight. You got some great linebackers who could be there at number eight. Is the kid from Alabama, Calvin Ridley, really a top 10 pick? He doesn't have the measurables, as everybody talks about, as a Julio Jones or a Dez Bryant, you know, the size, the speed, the stature, all of those things that go into the evaluation. He doesn't have all, he doesn't have the full package. So I think the draft sets up nicely to getting an impact defensive player at number eight. And you're right, spend all the money. You got $80 million in cap space. Spend some of that on wide receivers and even a tight end or two in free agency.
And you can't be wrong about a wide receiver in the top 10 again. If you were wrong about White because of injuries or whatever, you can't be wrong.
And here's the thing, like, at least White was 6'3", running like a 4.440. Right. I mean, Calvin Ridley is barely 6 feet. Yes, he's got the 4.440. He's a smooth player, but he doesn't have all the measurables that make him like a number three pick. What was Julio Jones, number three? He doesn't have some of that. And that plays a role in these evaluations.
So who really raised their stock at the combine? Who was like, you know, good, but now has really jumped?
Oh, Saquon Barkley. I mean, when's the last time a running back's gone? Kajana Carter, 1995, out of Penn State to the Bengals. Complete bust for various reasons. But I think Saquon Barkley deserves to be in the conversation to be the first overall pick. He was dynamic. He was outstanding at the combine. Every single thing he did, bench press, 40, everything he did was outstanding.
So let's say Barkley's still available because everybody starts taking quarterbacks and he gets down to the Bears and they've all – because there was a time where taking a running back in the top five or six was sort of crazy. Would you take Barkley if you're the Bears and somehow he slides all the way to you?
If he's the best guy on the board, I would. I always believe you draft the best available player, especially that high in the draft. You don't start saying, okay, I agree to lend to probably being a defensive player. But if you have him rated higher, you don't say, oh, we've got Jordan Howard and we have that position. You can never have in the NFL too many good guys, even if they're at the same position. So, sure, if he's rated one or two or three on yours at the board and he slips down towards the bottom of the top 10, yeah, I take him.
Jordan Howard isn't a great fit in this new offense, right?
But we don't know what.
That's what we're starting to hear.
Yeah, but we don't know what they're building.
Yeah.
Quite yet. It's going to be a blend of all sorts of different things. I mean, Mark Helfrich was not part of the Kansas City offense. He's part of Matt Nagy's offense here in Chicago. So they're going to run all sorts of different things. Yes, you would probably want some more speed in the backfield, but you got Tariq Cohen. I get some of the concerns over Jordan Howard, but. To your original question, if Saquon Barkley is there at number eight, I think you sprint to the podium and take him, even if you do have Jordan Howard on your roster.
Are you excited about this future for the Bears?
Yeah, I definitely am. I mean, I think the fact that everybody else is so excited is something that makes me excited as well. I mean, Kyle Long speaking out about it, Mitch Trubisky. There seems to be an energy in the building now with Matt Nagy and all those guys here. So regardless of what Howard's role is or what they're building on offense, I'm really curious to see if they can make Mitch take that next step.
It really all sets up. You know, John Fox served his purpose over 3 years. But now Kyle Long's your oldest player on your team.
Wow.
You have $80 million in cap space, a top 10 pick. You still got your high... number 39 in the second round, so you're getting two good players, two top 50 players there. Maybe you can move around the first round. You're setting up to build your team hand-in-hand with the coach you handpicked. So Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace can go through this whole process and build something together. They've gotten rid of a lot of contracts. There's going to be more contracts. Mike Glennon's probably gone. Marcus Cooper's probably gone. Marcus Wheaton's probably gone. Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy hand-in-hand can build this team.
Good stuff. Time for our first break here on Sports Talk Live. We're talking hockey next. Joe Quenneville was voted the coach most NHL players would like to play for. Does that help with job security at all? And what should we make of the Hawks' win last night against the Avs? It's next on Sports Talk Live.
Can't get enough of your Blackhawks? Tune in every single game day to Blackhawks pregame and flip back after the action for postgame live all season long, all 82 games, only on NBC Sports Chicago.
Welcome back. Time for our Chevy Stat of the Day, brought to you by the Chevy Silverado. Here are the results of the NHL Players Association player poll. For which coach would you most like to play for? Coach Q wins with more than 16% of the vote over John Cooper. Babcock's on there, Laviolette's on there. So here's the story. Take a look at it, and you wonder, what's up with Coach Q? You know, we wanted to know in the poll question, which coach would you most like to play for in Chicago? Q's got to be on the list.
Yeah, absolutely.
The players love him.
Why is Matt Nagy on the list? With all due respect to Matt Nagy, he hasn't coached the game yet, right?
Well, you know,
he's a coach.
Optimism.
He's a coach.
Optimism. He's one of the options.
Surprised Ditka's not on there.
How are 49%
you want to play for the Bears?
People voting for Rick Renteria? That's what I mean.
Over Joe Madden.
Joe Madden's won a World Series. Joe Quenneville's won three Stanley Cups. Rick Renteria is a nice guy, but 49% of the
people
like
want to play
for Rick Renteria.
Looks like your poll's been jacked by some bots from Russia or something.
Russian bots? We get a lot of Sox fans working in the newsroom back there. Dialing in. I think that could be the case. I would say of that group, my answer would be Madden.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't want to have a Bobcat come through like the clubhouse every once in a while?
That'd be
Sounds
cool.
Like fun.
But you also, I mean, Fred Hoiberg, you get to watch like movies and TV instead of practice, so that'd be kind of cool.
I like Madden because you can wear pajamas to your road trips. If you're the Hawks, you're dressed to the nines.
True.
I mean,
wear khakis in the field under Madden. LaStella just did that the other day. Wear khakis in the field instead of baseball pants.
See, so I think Madden's probably the answer, but Coach Q is on my list.
Yeah, I actually think I might go Quenneville there because some of that stuff like hanging out with the Bobcats or dressing like Elvis, that you lose five games in a row. Do you really want to get on an airplane, put all that stuff on? Where Quenneville treats guys like professionals, not that Madden doesn't, but it seems like it's just like quiet leadership where even when things go bad, he's very even keel.
Just don't get in his doghouse because there's a long list of guys like Teuvo Teravainen, Troy Brower. They're still stuck in that doghouse. I mean,
a lot of rookies.
Those are the guys voting for, I don't know, Peter Laviolette in that poll.
Teuvo has the keys to that doghouse.
He owns it,
he doesn't know what to do with it. What do you make of the Hawks winning last night? Anything? I mean, at this point, they're a team that's trying to stay focused, trying to get some of the young guys to contribute.
I guess. You know, this is a team that has a lot of serious questions to answer. And serious questions about some of their longtime best players, from your Brent Seabrooks to your Jonathan Tazes, your faces of your franchise for the past decade and a half. Serious questions in the offseason. That's what we're all waiting for with the Hawks.
Yeah, goaltending's been a mess. I mean, the Brandon Saad trade has not worked out. The defense, I mean, after you get past the top couple guys, you got a lot of questions. I mean, there's a ton of questions, and I think a lot of things went wrong this season that a lot of people didn't think were going to go wrong at the start. It really kind of bottomed out for them.
But do all these questions really mean that Joel Quenneville should be on the hot seat? In my opinion, no way.
No, I agree. Totally shouldn't
be. Yeah, I agree with you completely. Yeah.
Shouldn't be, but I think that in this world it might be the case. You look at Jonathan Taves, he got a lot of respect last night. Not that he didn't already have it. He's one of the most respected captains in sports. There's a guy that you could still see potentially bounce back next season. I know we've seen a little bit of a decline this year, but maybe there's something in the tank that comes back. He's still really young, and now he's going to have a couple off seasons where they're a little bit shorter back to back.
Yeah, changing his regimen. I mean, these guys have played a tremendous amount of hockey in their young lives, but Taze, Keith, Kane, Seabrook, these guys have played so much hockey since their early 20s. I mean, the three cup runs, and he had a couple long playoff runs in that too. Just the tremendous players. It's kind of sad to see the downfall happen this soon. I thought that Kane and Taze at least had one more cup run in them, a good number four cup run in them, but
They're going to have to be creative. He was voted second best role model and team player. I don't know that you could take your other captains, but when Sidney Crosby asks you at some point, is it okay if I'm captain? You know you're pretty well respected around the NHL.
He's a great person by all accounts. He's a great leader in the locker room. The question is, all that hockey that he's played over the last decade, is that, well, he'll get refreshed after a couple of short off seasons, or is this kind of the downslide? And maybe do you even think about if it comes down to it, moving him to wing at some point, maybe making things easier, maybe making him into a different type of player. I think this offseason, we see next year, then you start, if it's bad again, then you see a pattern, but maybe he will be refreshed.
Taze is a guy who's really, yes, he's extremely talented, but his work ethic is exceptional. That's why he's risen to these ranks, and he's got the personality that really commands a locker room. But the league's gotten fast, the league's gotten younger, and I think Jonathan Taze still has a very strong place in that league, but that's a good point. Maybe he has to change his game a bit, find a new niche for this hockey team.
We'll find out. Time for another break here on Sports Talk Live. We're talking baseball with Tony when we come back. Jose Quintana on the mound for the Cubs. Ian Happ back in the leadoff spot. Plus, Matt Davidson continues a red-hot spring for the Sox. And the Bulls and Grizzlies coming up at 7 right here on NBC Sports Chicago. Bulls pregame live coming up after we wrap up Sports Talk Live next.
Whether you're on the go or stuck at work late, don't miss a second of your Chicago Bulls. All NBC Sports Chicago games, including pre- and post-games, can be live-streamed on the NBC Sports app. Wherever you are, you're there.
So, Cactus League action today, and the big highlight was Luis Robert coming up and hitting a grand slam against the Reds. Hey, the kids want to play. A lot of good at-bats for the White Sox today in Cactus League action. We don't know if anybody's going to really force being on an opening day roster. But you look at a rebuild, you talk about the Bears trying to rebuild. This is what you're trying to, you want to be the next Chicago team to do what the White Sox seem to be doing.
Right, you want hope.
Yeah.
Hope. You got to sell hope. Hope sells. It gets fans in the seat, you know. But you need production to, like, fulfill that hope, right? You know, Mitch Trubisky embodies hope, but you need some on-field production. At least with the White Sox, starting to see some RBIs, some home runs.
Well, you'll get a full season of Moncada this year. Robert, right. You look at him, yep. He might be an opening day next year. It might be a top of the order. Maybe he's still 2 years off. But either way, that hope is coming in the minor leagues, and some of them are in the big leagues already this year.
But, Tony, the big question in Chicago is, who's going to bat leadoff for the Chicago Cubs this season?
Opening day or
opening
like game 162?
Opening day leadoff. Who's going to be the guy?
Ian Happ.
You like what you've seen so far, and the Cubs do too?
Yeah, but spring training stats.
For sure.
And he killed it last year. But I think what's best for Happ is he's a switch hitter. He takes a lot of pitches. He takes his walks. And even if he strikes out, I mean, he's seeing four or five pitches to do so. And Chris Bryant, Rizzo, Contreras behind him would have seen everything that day's pitcher has already. So between that and the fact that, you know, like we're seeing in this highlight here, he can put you in a 1-0 lead immediately. So I think for all of these reasons, just the fact that you can keep him in that spot. If Almora was there, you might want to pinch hit for Almora against a tough righty late in the game. I think Happ is a guy that we'll see in the leadoff spot most of 2018.
So you're telling me that Schwarber started eating more salads and started cutting all that weight for not to be the leadoff guy?
He might have 30 stolen bases, but not on the leadoff spot.
Yeah, good. He didn't belong there. He didn't belong there.
Don't let Schwarber get back together towards the bottom of the order. Don't put the pressure on him in a leadoff spot this year.
I still could see a time in the season where he starts mixing and matching again. Joe just likes to move guys around so much that Happ might be the main guy, but I'd be stunned if, like, two or three other guys aren't leading
off. Ben Zobrist, too. I mean, you think about not all the time, but, I mean, let's say some people are struggling in that spot. You could mix him in occasionally. He takes pitches. He's a veteran guy, knows how to get on base.
And against lefties, Almora is the best guy that they have because he hits lefties so well, and even if he swings early in the count, he's going to get on base, you know, 35, 36% of the time against lefties. So that's your guy against lefties, against righties, Zobrist, Happ, any of these guys. Maybe even Hayward, who knows?
Yeah, and Almora's great defensively, too. Let's get to that poll question. Which coach would you want to see or play for? What are the answers? Rick Renteria. The Sox fans are fired up. 54% want to play for Ricky. What do you think? No?
People like a rebuild.
They do love
Instead
a rebuild.
Of winning the World Series.
It's the Chicago way. Cubs did it. Everybody wants to do it.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Remember to watch the show weekdays on CSN and visit csnchicago.com for previous episodes of the podcast and all the latest sports news and highlights.